Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, and we're learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah speaks about the time period right before Shabbos arrives and the obligation incumbent upon the Baal HaBayis to warn and instruct, remind the members of his household about three tasks. And he has to remind them Ba'od Moed, when they still have time to take care of these three things, and warn them not to procrastinate. Shlosha Dvarim Tzarch Adam Lomar B'Soch Beso, Lianche Beso, Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha, Kodim Ben Hashmoshos, Be'od Shu Vada Yom, when it's still definitely light. Shouldn't wait, he shouldn't do it too early, because, they won't pay any attention to him. Im chashecha, isartem eravtem hadliku esaner. Should be mafresh maser from the Paris of Elon, and this is specifically for the Suda Shabbos. So we have here a kiyum of kibud the oneg, and we talk about peros that are not necessarily tevel yet. Tevel is muta b'achila saroy if it was before rias pnei abayis. So he says afal pi she'ena tevel mischayv v'maser li osro b'achila saroy elim kei nigmar malachta v'roa pnei abayis zed dafka b'chol aval achila shabbos chashuvehi. And Shabbos itself is koveil maser. So even if he wants to eat an achilas haroi without being mafrish maser, that he's not allowed to do, because the achil itself on Shabbos is achilas keva, and therefore he's chayv in maser, and there's no heter of eating achilas haroi. Now, you could always ask, what about the Bimei Chol? As a general rule, during the weekday, why doesn't he have to remind his family members to be Mafresh Maser? And the answer is that although people procrastinate, but they were not suspicious that they would be Mevatel the Mitzvah completely. But here on Shabbos, we worry about procrastination. We'll want to eat these peros at the Suda Shabbos. Now, as far as Erevin is concerned, we have a double category of Erev. We have what's called Erev Chatzeros. So let's say, for example, many people share one common courtyard, and you're not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum on Shabbos. Just one second. So let's just go over the last point. I'm sorry, I had to take a phone call. We're talking about two categories of Eruv, Eruv Tchumen and Eruv Chatzeros. Eruv Tchumen has to do with going Chutz L'Tchum, that means beyond Alpayim Amah, 2,000 Amah out of the city limits, and he's going to need to make an Eruv if he wants to go beyond that with Muslim Shtei Sudos, and then he's Koveh Shvisa at that point, and he could walk another 2,000 Amahs beyond that point. And as we said before, Erev Chatzeros, when you have different batim that share one common courtyard, and through this Erev, they're considered as if they are sort of partners in one bayis, in one chatzer, as if the chatzer was miyuchad to each and every bayis. And that also requires setting up a mazon shtei suda situation. And finally, we have Hadliku Asaner. It's time to light the Shabbos candles. The first two categories, he can ask, have you done this? But when it comes to the Ner, he's not asking, because he could see if they lit the Ner, but he's just telling them, I don't see the Ner. Now's the time to light the Ner. Now, if he's in a special room and he can't see, where the Ner is, and he's on his way to synagogue, then he can ask them, did they light? Let's see the Gemara. Minani Mili. Omar Rav Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amakra, Pasuk in Iyov. V'yadata ki shalom ohalecha, ufakadata navecha, v'lo secheta. V'yadata ki shalom ohalecha is a reference to Hadlakas Ner, because the candle is lit for Shalom Bayis. And then it says, upakadata nave, which means you shall command your abode. And this is a reference, an allusion to Erev Tchumen, which is to be mitaken, to perfect or rectify his abode. So there's peace in your tent, that's Hadlakas Ner. Then there's Upakadata Navecha, which is an allusion to Erev Tchumen. And then it says at the end of the Pasuk, Lo Techta, that's a reference to Tikkun Hafrashas Masros and Shelo Yechsar Hamazon. That if, heaven forbid, he's not careful about Hafrashas Shumas and Masros, then there could be the opposite of a blessing, we'll say, with regard to his Mazon. And Techta, the word Techta, is Miloshon Chisaron. That's a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, Perek Aleph. It says, "Vehayisi ani ubni Shlomo chatoim." Chatoim means lacking or deficient, and here the reference of deficiency in that pasuk it's chaserim amelucha, but here it means chaserim because of chas v'shalom the non-fulfillment of the mitzvah of hafrashas masros. Omar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Nevertheless, tzarech lememreu benichusa. He should be very careful to say things in a soft voice. Benachas ruach, b'loshen raka, kidei sheyakabel mimenu anshei beiso. People are more open to receive words that come softly. And Omar of Ashi, Anolo Shmieli, Hod Rab Bar Huna Vekiamti Misfara. I never heard the statement of Rabba, but nevertheless, I fulfilled it based on my own intuitive logic. And the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha, Amrit. In the Mishnah it says, Shlosh Dvarim Tzarech Adam Lomar B'soch Beisar of Shabbos M'chashecha, and the implication is M'chashecha in Sofek Hashecha, Sofek Ein Hashecha Lo. In other words, if it's already in that late period of time where we're not sure if it's after dark or not, then that's not the time that's appropriate to ask these questions. It's too late to be mafrish trumas or masters or to set up an eruv for hadar tani. But afterwards, the Tana says sofek hashecha, sofek ha'ena hashecha me'arev. That in the next part of the mission indicates that in a case where there's a doubt whether it's dark or not dark, then you can make an eruv. There seems to be a contradiction in the Mishnah itself. So I apologize. We skipped the last part of the Mishnah because we went straight to the Gemara. Let's just go over the last part of the Mishnah. Sofek Hashecha, Sofek Ein Hashecha. So we're talking about Bein Hashmashos, Ein Ma'asinus HaVadai. We're not Mafish Tevel from Tevel, Mafish Master from Tevel Vadai. And the implication is that Hafrasha is an Isa Drabbanon, because of Mitaken, he's fixing up something. And this Gzera, and this Shvus of Bein HaShmashos, applies even though it's only a Drabbanon during Bein HaShmashos. And the question is, Safek Drabbanon Lekula, why can't we say there's only a Safek here? But nevertheless, since Bein HaShmashos is always set, and the Rabbanon instituted a gzera and a shvus on Bein HaShmashos, then it applies to all Isuri Drabbanon, even to Hafrashas Maser, which is only an Isur Drabbanon on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos itself, I should say. Ein Matbilin Sakelim, during Bein HaShmashos, once again, it's Metakin, if he takes a kli to the mikvah. And Ein Madlikin Asaneros, here already we're talking about a Sofik Yisur Torah. If Bein HaShmashos is a Sofik Doraisa, then for sure he's not allowed to be Madlik Neros at that time. So as far as the first two categories, Ein Ma'asus Avad, Ein Madbilin Sakelim, those are Drabonons, and we have to observe those Shvusim Drabonon of Hafrashas Maser and Tvilas Kelim, even during Bein HaShmashos. But as far as Hadlokas Ner Shabbos is concerned, that's already a Doraisa. And the Mishnah finally concludes, Avol Ma'asrim Esadmai U'ma'arvim V'tomnim Esachamin. That during this period of Bein HaShmashos, we're allowed to be mafrish from Dmai, and it's not considered mitaken because Rov Ami Aretz Ma'asrin Heim. And we had a long discussion in one of the shirim about Dmai. It's only an Iser Gavra, it's not an Iser Cheftza. He's not being mitaken the Cheftza. And as far as Eruv is concerned, the Gemara is going to ask, how is it possible that he asks the members of his household if they put down an Eruv Bein HaShmashos, if in any event, even during Bein HaShmashos themselves, it's mutter, and why was the Mishnah so careful that he should do this before Bein HaShmashos, when Lechor is allowed to do this even Bein HaShmashos? And as far as Atman is concerned, we're talking about food that was cooked, and he wraps it up and he insulates it in some sort of wool or cotton substance, and he's allowed to do this during Bein HaShmashos, because we're talking about the Isur Atmana of a Drabbanon, and he's not actually doing Bishul, and the Rabbanon permitted Atmana during Bein HaShmashos. Mishachashecha, once it's actually dark out, then there's an Isur Atmana in the case of a Dovar HaMosif Hevel, and there's an entire chapter that's dedicated to the Iser Hatmon from Etom in the fourth chapter. So let's get back to the Gemara here, Hagufa Kasha. It seems from the Mishnah that after Chashecha, there's no point to asking if you set up the Erev, because it's too late after Chashecha. And the implication is that Safek Chashecha, when it's not definitely Lila, then you would not, it says, just one second, Safek Hashecha, Safek Eino Hashecha Lo. Now let's see if we understand the Gemara's diuk over here. It says, Shlosha Dvarim Tzarech Odom Lomar, B'Sof Beiser of Shabbos, Im Hashecha, Mashba Im Hashecha, Im Chashecha is not the same as Sofik Chashecha. Let's just point that out. Im Chashecha means when it's Vadai Yom, and it's not yet Sofik Chashecha. You haven't yet entered into Bein HaShmashos. The implication of the Mishnah is that the latest time for Erev is before Bein HaShmashos. But yet, the Sefer of the Mishnah says that even during Bein HaShmashos, you're allowed to set up the Erev. So the Gemara answers, and we'll get back to the Siman a little bit later, but the Gemara answers, Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Abchia Bar Avashi, Omar Rav Lo Kasha, Kan Be'eruve Tchumin, Kan Be'eruve Chatzeres. As we mentioned earlier, there are two different categories of Erevin. And when the Reisha says that during Bein HaShmashos itself, it's also the Arev, that's referring to the Erev Tchumin. That's called a tikkun gomur. The chachamim hismichu isut chumin ala posuk. The isut chumin is going to be derived from a posuk. And that's a sugya later on daf samach tes. And that upgrades the status of eret chumin to a higher level. And therefore, that's prohibited during Bein HaShemashos. So we don't make an Erev Tchumin during Bein HaShemashos. And that was the implication, the diuk that we got from the Reish of our Mishnah. However, Erev Chatzeros is only a Chumrah. And it's not the same status as Erev Tchumin. And therefore, in Bein HaShemashos, which is Safeg Yom, Safeg Laila, they were Matir an Erev Chatzeros. You're allowed to make an Erev Chatzeros. So you see quite clearly from the Gemara's answer that when the Mishnah says that he should ask Mibodjom whether a Ravtom or not, that refers specifically to Erev Tchumen. As far as Erev Chatzeres is concerned, they can do that Bein HaShemashos. So he doesn't have to ask this question Mibodjom. He can ask that question during the period of Bein HaShemashos. The strange thing here is that Rashi in the Mishnah, Dibra Maskele Ravtom, interprets that we ask even about Erev Chatzeros. That doesn't seem to reflect the Maskonas HaGemara here. But it could be that he would be allowed to be Ma'ariv everything during Bein HaShemashos. If that would be the case, then we wouldn't have a Takana L'chatchila that he should ask Im Chashecha, meaning Mibod Yom, a Ravtem. We would delay it during Bein HaShemashos. But once we know that he has to ask, at least as far as Erev Tchumen, before Bein HaShemashos. So then they made one general, all-inclusive takana that he should ask the question Erev Tchumen before Bein HaShemashos, even though, as far as Erev Chatzeres is concerned, he could have postponed that question until Bein HaShemashos. The Gemara now brings an additional din with regard to Erev Tchumen during Bein HaShemashos. V'yomar Rava, Omru Lo, Lishliach, Shnayim, Tse, V'arev Aleinu. In other words, Tse V'niach Aleinu Eruv B'sof HaTchum, Kodem Sheyikadesh Hayom, V'holach HaShliach, V'niach Asa Eruv B'shnei Zmanim Shonim. So two people are talking to the same Shliach, and each one is asking that shliach take care of setting up an Erev Tchumen on their behalf. So it's Reuven and Shimon. And they want to be Konesh Visa at the end of Alpayim Amma, and they need an Erev to do that at the beginning of the Kedush Sayyom. Le'echad, on behalf of one of them, the shliach will Erev Olav Mibodjom. So he got there before Bein HaShemashos. But as far as the other one is concerned, it was getting later. It was already Bein HaShemashos, which is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. And as we emphasized before, the Erev Tchumen has to take place, has to be set up before Bein HaShemashos. Zeshe Erev Olav Mibodjom Nechale Ruvo. And now the story, the plot grows thicker. The one for whom the Erev was set up before Bein HaShemashos, his Erev got eaten up by a dog or by some person during Bein HaShemashos before nightfall, before it became totally dark. Zeshe Erev Olav Bein HaShemashos, and the other fellow's Erev that was set up during Bein HaShemashos, Nechal Eruvo Mishachashecha. His Eruv was consumed after nightfall. So what's the din in this case? Rava says, Shneem Kanu Eruv. In other words, both Reuven and Shimon were Konesh Visa at that point where the Shliach left the Eruv. They're allowed to walk an additional 2,000 Amma in each direction from that point where they were Konesh Visa. With regard to the person whose Erev was set up in Bodjom, and it was eaten Bein HaShemashos, then we're going to consider Bein HaShemashos as Laila. And we're going to say that with the Kedusha Sayom, that that emerged with the beginning of Bein HaShemoshos, that's already Laila, he was already Konish Visa. So that even though his Eruv was consumed during Bein HaShemoshos, during the period of Bein HaShemoshos, let's say between time T1 and time T2, somewhere in the middle there, already at the moment of time T1, the beginning of Bein HaShemoshos, already at that point, there was an Eruv there, and he was Kodesh Visa. And even if a second later, during the Bein HaShemoshos, his Eruv was consumed, he was already Konish Visa, because we're going to consider Bein HaShemoshos as Laila. Now, with regard to the other fellow, we'll call him Shimon, and the Eruv was placed down there during Bein HaShemoshos, and it was there until Varei Chashecha, then we're going to consider that Bein HaShemoshos is considered Yom, and before Kiddush HaYom, when the Eruv was set up, he was already Konish Visa at that time, B'tchilas Kiddush HaYom. So the Gemara points out that we're involved here in a contradiction, B'nei Ube, Mimonashach. Bein HaShemoshos, Yomamahu, if we consider Bein HaShemoshos to be daytime, then Basra Likne Kamalo Likne. If Bein HaShemoshos is daytime, then the one whose Erev was set up, the second guy Shimon, during Bein HaShemoshos, then fine. He was Konish Visa before nightfall. But Kama Lo Likne, but Reuven, whose Erev was set up before Bein HaShemoshos, then it was eaten during Bein HaShemoshos. He wasn't Konish Visa Kisha Kiddush HaYom, but Laila. V Bein HaShemoshos Laila Hu. And if on the other hand we define Bein HaShemoshos as Laila, is Kama Likne and Basra Lo Likne, then it's just the reverse. Reuven, whose Erev was set up before Bein HaShemoshos, he was Konish Visa before Laila, before Kiddush HaYom. His Erev is fine. Shimon, on the other hand, whose Erev was set up during Bein HaShemoshos, he couldn't be Konish Visa. He didn't have an Eruv at the moment of Kiddush HaYom. And the Gemara answers, Bein HaShemoshos, Sveika D'Rabbanan Hu. Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula. And the status of Bein HaShemoshos is that of both Yom V'Laila, so to speak. When we have a Din D'Rabbanan, for example, the case of Erev Tchumen, which is D'Rabbanan, although, as we said earlier, it's Nechshav K'Tikun Gomur, and we're not going to allow this Erev, if all things are equal, during Bein HaShemoshos, because we have a pasuk from which we were, there was Hismichu Rabbanan Akra, so we don't make the Erev L'chatchila Bein HaShemoshos. But nevertheless, the Isur of Hanochas Erev on Shabbos is only an Isur D'Rabbanan. And therefore we could be mekel in both directions to be machshiv Bein HaShemoshos based on whatever we need lahakel lekula. So if we want to consider Bein HaShemoshos as Laila lechumra, I'm sorry, as Laila lekula, we'll consider as Laila lekula. If we want to consider as Yom lekula, we'll consider as Yom lekula. And the Ramban writes that the Gemara's chiddush is that even though this din itself has a stira, a contradiction, biatzmo, because we're talking about Shnayim, both of whom appointed one shliach on behalf of each one of them. So then we're talking about one single Bein HaShemoshos, and we're paskening on one shliach, on two Erevim for two people. And the Ramban points out that in the Sugyim Psochim on Daf Yud, which is a famous sugya called Shnei Shvilin, where two people came to ask a question about Tumas Mes, and they came simultaneously, we had to be Metame, both of them. Says the Ramban, that's because we're dealing with a Safik Doraisa of Tumas Mes. But here, that we're dealing with Erev Tchumen, which is in the worst case scenario, an Issa D'Rabbanan, then in Safik D'Rabbanan we could go Lekula. And even within one Psak, which has a contradiction, we could apply Safik D'Rabbanan Lekula, defining Bein HaShemashas in two mutually exclusive directions. Now, Rav is going to clarify two dinim that apply as far as Hatman is concerned. The first din, the Amar Rava, Mifnei Ma Omru, why did the Chacham say, Ein Tom Nim Dover, She'eno Mosif Hevel, Mishach HaShecha? So here's the difference between before nightfall and after nightfall. Before nightfall, the Isra Hatman applies exclusively to a Dover HaMosif Hevel, something that has resulted in insulation, adds heat, intensifies and increases the heat, as opposed to after Hashecha, when it gets dark out. At that point, what we're going to say is that that you're already into Shabbos, and on Shabbos itself, there's an Isra Atmana, even with regard to a Dover She'eino Mosif Hevel, like, for example, muchin, which are dry, some sort of wool or cotton substance. When it's dry, it only preserves the heat. It doesn't add to the heat, but nevertheless, it's also mishach hashecha. And the reason for this gzera of hatmona, it's not an act of bishul, on a deraisa level, there's no violation of a malacha here, but nevertheless, it's a gzera shem yartiach. We're afraid that if he really wants to insulate his kedera, his tavshil, if it cools off, then yartichena, he might put it into remetz or put it on near the oven in such a way that he heats it up. Amalei Abai, so Abai turns to Rav and he says, Ihachi, if you're going to tell me that Bein HaShemashas Nami Nigzar, namely, that the Rabbanon, if the Rabbanon actually gave Hatmana the status of a kind of a bishul because they were afraid of being mevashel b'Shabbos, then that gzera should apply even during Bein HaShemashas. And that would mean that Hatmana on Shabbos, even if it's a Dover Shein Mosif Hevel, is a full-fledged Shvus Gomur. And our Mishnah says that Bein HaShemashas, right, let's go back to our Mishnah for just a second. The Mishnah says that Safek HaShecha, Safek Einach HaShecha, it says Tomnin Esachamin, that we are allowed to do Atmana, even though it is it's Bein HaShemashas. Mishnah Seni Sovers. Just 1 second. I don't know how to read this. Just 1 second. Oh yeah, that's how you read it. Sorry. So Bein HaShemashas Nami Nigzar, says Abai, we should have this gzera prohibiting Atman even during Bein HaShemashas, and the mission itself is committed to impose and extend a Shvus Rabbanan even during Bein HaShemashas, which we find in the case of Ein Ma'asrin Asavadai. Omalei, so Rav responds to Abaye, Stam Kideros Ros Chosein. Usually, a Kidera during Bein HaShemashas is absolutely hot. It's boiling. And it's very far-fetched to say that we should be afraid at that point of Bein HaShemashas that he would have a need to heat it up and be martiachit. And therefore the chash of an avera d'oraisa is very slight, very limited. During Bein HaShemashas, they were matir hatmana during Bein HaShemashas. The Omer Rava, this is Rava's second din, and here we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. Mipnei Ma Omru Ein Tomnin B'Dover Hamosif Hevel Afilu Mibojom. Why do they prohibit insulating food in a situation, in a kind of material that would be Mosif Hevel Afilu Mibojom, even on Erev Shabbos itself? And this is a sugya later on at Daf Mem Zayin Beizim Tomnim Lo Begefes Velo Bezevel, different types of materials that are Mosif Hevel. and stam hatmona mipod yom, because again, after it gets absolutely dark, there's an isur hatmona even bedover shadav osif hevel. So on erev Shabbos, we're talking about mipod yom, and yet we prohibit hatmona bedover shemosif hevel. What's the gzera here in this case? Our mission allows hatmona b'dover she'enu mosif hevel in a case of sofik hashecha mutu lahatmin, but varech hashecha it's osur. And Rava answers gzeira shaviyatmin beremetz sheyesh ba gacheles. We're afraid of yatmin beremetz. Remetz is again hot coals or hot sand, and what we're afraid of is that he might decide to take his tavshil and put it into this remetz. Again, we said that remetz is a live coal, but it's really remetz is really ashes that have live coals, and it's a yesh ba gacheles. So Chazal prohibited hatmana in any case of a dover shemosif hevel, and we're talking about of hatmana beremet sheish bar gachel. So we're dealing with bishul doraisa. So amalei Abaye v'yatmin. Abaye says that if he insulates his food with ashes, he would not be violating any doraisa. Why? Because if he places the gecholim around the food before Shabbos begins, then he's not violating any malacha. So Rava answers, gzera shemiyachte begecholim. What we're afraid of is that later on, even if he does hatmana beremetz mibodjom, but later on he might start poking the coals, and then he would violate an Issa Havara, because he's very eager to get the food to cook faster and faster. And this is similar to our general Shemi Yechate Gecholim, which we've discussed on many occasions, like when he puts dough into the oven and there are coals that are heating the oven, or when he puts uncooked food on an open fire in a Kira, etc. So he would be violating a Malacha Doraisa of Bishul. Now let's just point out that our Mishnah that prohibits lahatmin misha chashecha, that's at the end of Bein Hashmosh when it's really dark, that's talking about a case of Dover She'ino Mosif Hevel, because then it's Shabbos Mamish, and on Shabbos there's no you're not allowed to do Atmona even on a Dover She'ino Mosif Hevel. And back in Perik forward, I should say, in Perik Metomnim, where the Mishnah says that there's an Isra Atmona even b'bodjom, that's referring to a dover hamosif hevel. So our Mishnah, which says that the Israeli starts in b'chashecha, that's talking about a dover she'ena mosif hevel, where we can be mekil before it gets dark. It's eino mosif hevel. The Mishnah later on in Perikva Metomnin, which is more machmir, and it prohibits hatmona b'bodjom, even b'bodjom when it's still light out, that's talking about a case of a dover hamosif hevel. But there is a logical possibility here in Rashi that when it says in Perek Pametomim that there's an Isra Atmana on Erev Shabbos in a dover hamosif hevel, that's only Misha Chashecha. That's only after it's Vaday Laila, but not Mibodjom, because now we're talking about Erev Shabbos. So that has to be clarified exactly. We're leaving it as an open-ended question. Rabbi Kivega has a long discussion about this. What's the status of Hatmana on a Dover HaMosif Hevel if it's before Chashecha? Do we say that since it's Mosif Hevel and the Rabbanan asked it, they asked it even during Bein HaShmosha? So should we say no? That since it's Erev Shabbos, therefore the Iser is only on it, and the Easter is on it, most of all, that's only Vaday Laila, Misha Chashecha. Tonar Abona. Now we have Raisa that addresses the Dinim of Bein HaShmoshos. When is the time for Bein HaShemoshos. Now this Gemara, as we're going to learn it, not today, but perhaps tomorrow, and the Rishonim, this is really the source for the Dinim of Bein HaShemoshos, between Shkia Sachama and Tzeis HaKochavim. And there's an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch with its Nosei Kelim, siman Reish Samach Aleph, please make a note of it, 261, that addresses these details. You'll also see it coming up in siman Reish Tzadi Gimel, and that's 293. The difference between the end of day and the beginning of night on in the evening is not exactly clear, because after Shkia Sachama, there still is light on the horizon. And that period of time where there's light but there's no sun, it's after sunset, is called Bein HaShemoshos. Tanu Rabbanan, Bein HaShemoshos, Safek min hayom umin halayla. So there's one possibility, this is the first of three possibilities, that Bein HaShemoshos is, it might have both Yom and Laila. Second possibility is Safek Kulo Min HaYom, Safek Kulo Min HaLaila. It could be that this period of time is completely day, or it's completely night. So again, we have a suffix if it's both, if it's an overlap of day and night. We have a possibility that's completely day, and we have a third possibility that's completely night. Therefore, matilin oso lechomer. We have to impose all the stringencies, and we have to deal with it Shnei Yom, as if it's both part of day and part of night. The Gemara is going to explain what does it mean when we have to be Choshesh that it's both day and night. V'ezu Bein HaShemoshos, Mishetishka Chama, the sun is set below the horizon. So we have astronomical sunset. Kolzman Shepnei Mizrach Madimim. But nevertheless, the redness from the sun after it sets is still very much apparent in the sky. He says, Echama be oven, as if to say the redness of the sun is in the clouds. Now, we have the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hichsif ha-tachton velo hichsif ha-elyon Bein HaShemoshos. So we said that the eastern face of the sky is reddening, but the bottom of the sky, which is the part near the horizon, has darkened. But the upper part of the sky has not yet darkened. That's called Bein HaShemoshos. However, Hichsif HaElyon, when the upper part of the sky already became darkened, the Hishvel HaTachton, and now it has the same color as the bottom of the sky, Zehu Laila, Tivrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's already considered Laila. Now we have another view. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Kidei Shehalich Odom Mishetishka Chama Chatzi Mil. Once the sun is set, Bein HaShemoshos is the time it takes to walk a half a mil. Now, a mil is 2,000 amah. And obviously then, a half a mil is 1,000 amah. Now, usually we assume it takes 18 minutes to walk a mil, 2,000 amah. Therefore, Bein HaShemoshos, according to Rav Nechemya, is 9 minutes after Shkia. And after that 9 minutes, when you could walk a half a mil, it's Vadei Laila. Now that's according to one Shita in the Rishonim. That seems to be the Rambam Shita. So a meal which is 2,000 Amma, and the Gemara says in Psachim that the average person could walk 40 meal in a day, which means 18 minutes for a single meal, or 9 minutes for half a meal. However, the Mishnah Brura quotes another Shita that it takes 24 minutes to walk a meal, which means that it would only take 12 minutes to walk a half a meal. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the third Shita here in this price, Bein Hashmashas Keheref Ayin, Zeh Nichnas V'Zeh Yotzei, V'Efshal Lamod Olav. So it's a very, very short, almost a blink of an eye transition between day and night. And it's impossible to determine whether it's day or night. So if according to Rabbi Yossi, Bein Hashmashas is such a very short interval, it passes in just moments like the blink of an eye, during this short interval, all three tzadim that we mentioned, and we mentioned in the Tanakhama, apply. The interval could be entirely day, it could be entirely light or night, or it might be an overlap of both day and night. Now, it's uncertain, any given part of Bein Hashmashas, is it day, night, or both? The Braisa, therefore we have to be machmir, we have to ascribe to Bein Hashmashas and impose on Bein Hashmashas all the stringencies, lechumra, of the day that's coming, the day that's receding, and the overlap between the two. Omar Mar. In the Braisa we saw, Matilin Oso Lechomer Shnei Yomim. And the Gemara wants to know exactly what the Braisa had in mind when it said that we impose upon Bein Hashmashos the chumras of both days. L'may Hilchasa. Omar Avhuna Breid Rabbi Yeshua Le'inyin Tuma. What does that mean, Le'inyin Tuma? Kedisna, we learned in a Mishnah, in Masechta Zavim, Ra Shnei Yomim Bein Hashmashos. So we're now talking about a Zav who sees a Ziva from his privates, and he sees it on two consecutive days. And if he has two Re'ios, then he is Tomei Betumas Zav. Let me read to you just a little bit of an overview or an introduction of the laws of Tumas Ziva. Zov is Shichvas Zera Ba Machmas Choli V'yotza L'lo Hano L'lo Kishui Eiver. A Zav Shero Re'iyo Achas B'yom Echad O Shterios B'shnei Yomim She'enom Ritzufim. So let's say, for example, he has a Re'iyah on Sunday and then a second Re'iyah on Tuesday. He's not Tamei Tumas Zav. So if he sees one Re'iyah, he's a Balkari. If he sees one Re'iyah on day number one and the second on day number three, he's a Balkari. Which means that he's Tovil Mitumaso on that very day that he saw. And after Erev Shemesh, he's tar. If, on the other hand, he sees two Re'iyos on one day, or two Re'iyos on two consecutive days, or one Re'iyah on 2 days, now how could he have one Re'iyah on 2 days? If he saw the Re'iyah partially on the previous day and partially on the following night, that's considered like two Re'iyos. And in such a case, he's a Zav Gomur. So that's called Re'iyah Arucha Kishtayim. Even though it was one long Re'iyah, but since it spills over in 2 days, overlaps on 2 days, then it's like two Re'iyahs on two consecutive days. And he's Tomei Betumas Zav. What's the din what's the halachic status of a zav? He needs to count Zayin Nekiyim, and then he can be tovel from his tumah. If he sees three rias on one day, or three rias on three consecutive days, or two rias on one day and another rias on the very next day, or one rias today and two tomorrow, then after the sphere of Zayin Nekiyim, he has to bring a karbon, which is called Shtei Torim or Shnei Bnei Yonah. One is an Ola and one is a Chatos, and all this is codified in the Torah in Vayikra Perek Tesvav. Now, Ra'a, the Mishnah in Zavin, Ra'a Shnei Yomim Bein Hashmoshos, which means Miktas Bein Hashmoshos HaRishon U'Miktas Bein Hashmoshos HaSheni. So he didn't see one long re'ia that extended during the period of Bein Hashmoshos. That's not what he saw. But what he did see was two re'ios on two consecutive days on Bein Hashmoshos of each of those 2 days. And what's his status? Is suffik lituma ula karbon. There's a double suffik here. Number one, we have a suffik as far as his state of tuma, and we even have a suffik as far as his karbon is concerned. And Amir Hashem, in the next discussion, will go through the various calculations and possibilities. There are actually 3 different possibilities here, and that will have an impact both on his state of tumah and on his state of karbon. Then the Mishnah says, Ra yom echad bein hashmashos. If he saw one day of bein hashmashos, that's only a suffik with tumah, but there's no suffik with karbon, because for karbon we said he needs a third re'ia. Amir Tzashem, if we have more time, we'll go through the various possibilities and the Hagufa Kasha, which the Gemara is going to raise. Let me just give the following example. Let's say a person had an omission during Bein Hashmoshos on a Sunday evening, a second omission on Bein Hashmoshos of Monday evening. Now, it's possible that he experienced the first omission during a part of Bein Hashmoshos that's totally day, and the second omission during a part that was totally night, and therefore it would be a Sunday and a Tuesday situation, where the two re'ios were separated by a full day, and therefore he's not Tomei Betumas Zav, but rather he's a Balkeri. But there's a second possibility that he experienced the first Ziva, the first Ria, in such a way that there's no separation of a full day, and both Sunday nights and Monday nights re'ios would occur during that part of Bein Hashmoshos that was night, or both parts of Bein Hashmoshos that were day. So he would have either had a re'ia on a Monday and a Tuesday, or a Sunday and a Monday. And whether it was Monday or Tuesday, or Sunday or Monday, either way, he is a Zav. Now it could be that the first re'ia was during the night, the second re'ia was during the day, and both would have occurred on Monday. And in any of these possibilities, then you have consecutive re'ios, and the person has a status, a full-fledged status, as a Zav. And he's a full Tomei Betumah Zav. He would not have experienced 3 consecutive re'ios. But there is a third possibility, and that is that one single Ziva spans 2 different days and is considered as 2 consecutive re'ios. So if a person's 2 re'ios in some circumstances could be legally considered as 3 consecutive re'ios. So for example, let's say that sometime during the interval of that Sunday's Bein Hashmoshos, when the re'ia took place, this was the actual transition period between day and night. Then the re'ia would have occurred partially during the day and partially during the night. And According to halacha, therefore, he would have experienced already two consecutive riyas, one on Sunday, the other on Monday. Now, if we assume tomorrow night's riyah, right, the second Ben Hashmashis' riyah took place when it was already night, now he has a riyah on Tuesday, he's seen three consecutive riyas on three consecutive days, he becomes not only a full zav, but he also is chayv a karma. And therefore, the Mishnah says he's a suffik l'tuma ula karma. But then we have the case of Ra Yom Echad Bein HaShemashos. If he only saw on one day during Bein HaShemashos, then it's only a Suffolk Lutuma, because we can consider it maximum as if he had two Re'ios on two consecutive days, and that's a possibility, but he certainly didn't have a third Re'os, so there's no Suffolk as far as Karmon is concerned. And the Gemara now raises the following kasha, hagufa kasha. Review the statement is involved in a self-contradiction. Because Amrit, you're saying, Ezu ben Hashmashos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ben Hashmashos misha tishka chama, kolzman, shepnei mizrach ma'adimim, which means after sunset, but there's reddening in the sky on the eastern side, ha'hichsif tach atachton, velo, Hichsif ha'elyon. The implication is that if the bottom part of the sky is darkened, but the upper part is not yet darkened, Lila, it's already considered Lila. But yet hadar Tana. And then it says in the very next words, the Tana teaches us that Hichsif ha'tachton velo Hichsif ha'elyon. So it means only the bottom part of the sky has darkened, and yet the upper part of the sky is not darkened. It's Bein HaShemashos. How can you call it Bein HaShemashos when you just called it Laila? Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kroch V'Tni. You have to combine the different parts of the Braisa together and teach them as if they were written as one. And here's the way you have to read Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Ezu Bein HaShemashos Misha Tishka Chama Kolzman Shepnei Mizrach Madimim Vehichsif ha'tachton, velo hichsif ha'elyon, nami bein hashmashos. So if the bottom part of the sky is darkened, but the upper part of the sky is not darkened, that's also considered bein hashmashos. But hichsif ha'elyon, once the upper part of the sky is darkened, vishvil tachton, has the same color as the bottom part of the sky, lila, that's considered Vadai Laila. And that's the opinion of Rabba in the name of Rabbi Yudom Shmuel. And we're going to have another version of Rabbi Yudom Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Yosef. And that is Hachik Tani, Misha Tishka Chama, Kolzman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim. So we're talking about after Shkia, but there's still red on the eastern side. Yom, that's considered Vadai Yom. But Hichsif HaTachton, Velo Hichsif HaElyon, Bein HaShemashos, when the bottom of the sky is dark, the upper part of the sky is not yet dark, that's called Bein HaShemashos. But Hichsif HaElyon, the Hishvel HaTachton, once the upper part of the sky is darkened, and it has the same color as the bottom part of the sky, that's considered Laila. So we have Rabba and Rav Yosef, two versions of when Bein HaShemashos begins, according to Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, according to Rabba, it's from the moment of Shkia, from sunset, whereas according to Rav Yosef, it's much later on when the sky near the horizon has darkened. And the Gemara now is going to analyze other statements made by these same Amoraim, which seems to reflect consistently with their view, Azdo Litamayu. And then Amir Hashem will pick up on Yom Rishon. Take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos Hagod.